Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to 43. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down in earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything unclean, impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the man sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the man, "I'm the one you are looking for. Why have you come?" The man replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the man into the house to be his guest. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived at Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "Four days ago, I was in the house praying at this hour. At 3 p.m, suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He's a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.' Then Peter began to speak. 'I now realize how true is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnessing of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, that God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testified about him that everything who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through the name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you again for the opportunity to come and to share God's word with you today. As we just listened to that passage from Acts chapter 10, we're going to be looking at Cornelius and seeing what we can learn from this passage about how God breaks down barriers. So let's pray as we come to God's word. Our Father, we thank you that you are the God who speaks. Thank you that you are the God who has revealed yourself to us. We pray that once again you will open our hearts to learn from you. Teach us of more of your ways. And Father, we pray that we might learn them not just with our head, but with our hearts and our lives. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a teenager, I lived at Castle Hill with my family, and there was a school bus stop right out the front of our house. So every morning, the primary school children would line up there to catch their buses to school. Now, there were two schools that the children used to go to. There was the Castle Hill Public School and St Michael's Catholic School. After school, on the weekends, the children played very happily together, in and out of each other's homes. There was no problems. But when they lined up to go to school and they were going in separate buses to different schools, suddenly there became this pushing and shoving. There was now, they were separated into the publics and the Catholics. And they didn't get on. And they would be moving each other, calling each other's names. At other times during the week, no problem at all. They happily played with each other in and out of each other's houses, but put different uniforms on them, send them to different schools and different buses, and suddenly there was this hostility that created between them. They had no idea about different philosophies of education or different religious understanding, but when they looked different, went to different places, suddenly there was this hostility that arose between them. But aren't they typical of us as human beings? We can take any difference, whether it is perceived or is it real or just something that we perceive might be a difference, and we can make it a cause for hostility, a cause for separation. Whether it's going to a different school or having a different skin colour or perhaps speaking a different language, living a different lifestyle, holding different politics, one of many differences that we perceive between ourselves and others around about us, and we can become suspicious of someone who is not like us, and we put up barriers between them and us. We create hostility and division. Now, of course, this is not a new thing. It's not something that's suddenly arisen in the 21st century. This is something that has been typical of human beings throughout the ages. The book of Acts makes it clear that despite the euphoria and the unity of the early days of the church with thousands of people being converted, division arose that caused problems for the church. There was already division inside the church. You can read about it if you go back to Acts chapter 6. Chapter 6 there, we hear about the Greek-speaking church members and the Hebrew-speaking church members. This became a cause of difference, and they perceived a difference in the way that the widows from each of those two groups were being treated, being cared for. And that caused division amongst them in the church. But there were also divisions outside of the church that impacted the way that the church operated, the way that the church lived and served. In particular, there was this difference between the Jews and the Gentiles, or the non-Jews. The church, of course, was Jewish in its origin. Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. He came to fulfill the promises that had been made to Abraham and others long ago. Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation. God had given to Abraham promises that would mean blessing for Abraham and his descendants. They were God's chosen people. But those blessings were never meant to be exclusively for the descendants of Abraham. For God also promised Abraham that through him and his descendants, all peoples on earth would be blessed. Jesus gave indications of that when he spoke to his followers that the message about who he was and what he'd come to do was to be taken to all nations, not just to the Jews. But in the early days of the church, they had great trouble getting outside of their Jewish culture, their Jewish enclave. The divisions between Jew and Gentile persisted to impact the life and ministry of the church. Here in Acts chapter 10, we read the story of a Gentile named Cornelius, who along with his whole family was converted to become a follower of Jesus. He was brought into the church, into the body of Christ. That event not only had a great impact on Cornelius' life, but on the life of the whole church. Through this incident, we learn that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ breaks down our human barriers, those things that we erect between different people. He encourages us to live out that unity together that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and to reach out to all people with the message of the gospel, the love of the Lord Jesus. So today, as we look at this chapter, I want to think about three things. Firstly, think about the fact that God is at work here in this chapter. Secondly, we want to look at the barriers in Cornelius's life and what needed to be overcome for him to get into the church. And thirdly, to think about how it is that the gospel of the Lord Jesus breaks down those barriers that we put up. So firstly, you think about God is at work. Now, it might seem a bit obvious to say that. Well, of course God's at work. This is the Bible. We're reading about this. Of course you expect that. But as you read this chapter, it becomes clear that Luke is at pains to point out the fact that God is at work. This is such a significant event in the life of the church. He makes it very clear from the beginning that this was not a human idea to take the gospel to the Gentiles, to tell them about Jesus. It wasn't that Peter suddenly had this brainwave and said, oh, this is a good idea, let's go and talk to the Gentiles about Jesus. It wasn't that they didn't have a big church conference and get everybody together and think, how can we get the gospel to go a bit further? Well, why don't we take it to the Gentiles? Wasn't that at all. Nor was it that the Gentiles were breaking down the door of the church saying, we want to come in, we want to be part of this. They weren't doing that either. This was God's work. It was very much God's doing. We have a quick overview of the chapter. You can see that at every point. In verses 1 to 8, an angel appears to Cornelius and convinces him to send for Peter. Cornelius didn't know who Peter was. Didn't have any interest in hearing from him, but the angel convinced Cornelius he needed to do that, an angel from God. In verses 9 to 16, Peter has a vision from God about these various animals getting up and killing and eating these unclean animals. This was not Peter's idea. This was, and God had to do it to him three times for him to get the message. 17 to 18, the men from Cornelius, sent for Peter, arrive at exactly the same time as Peter is thinking about these visions and what they're going to mean. This is God's timing here. Verses 19 to 23, the Spirit instructs Peter to go down and to greet the three men and to go with them. Again, it's not something that Peter would have done unless the Spirit had instructed him. Verses 24 to 29, the next day Peter goes with these men to Cornelius and goes into his house, the house of a Gentile, and he tells them there about what God had told him, that he shouldn't call any person unclean or impure, that you could go there to the Gentiles. And Cornelius tells Peter what God had told him about sending for him, the angel had come and told him to send for Peter. And Peter tells them the gospel then of what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally the Holy Spirit comes upon these new believers just as he'd come upon those Jewish believers there on the day of Pentecost with Peter and others. God is at work. Luke wants us to see very clearly that God is at work in every step along the way, breaking down these barriers between people. Now, I enjoy mechanical things, particularly old mechanical things, like old things, old cars, old trains, old buses, all those sort of things. For my birthday this year, I took my family to the Railway Heritage Museum at Thirlmere, and we went for a ride on a steam train. It was a great experience to do that. At the end of the ride, I was walked up to the front of the train, looking at the old steam engine there, admiring all the mechanics of it, and the driver in the cab invited me to come up into the cab. Wow, what an opportunity. I got up to climb up in there and to see all of the wheels and the gauges and the levers and things and feel the heat coming out of the firebox of this steam engine. It was amazing. It was the highlight of the whole day for me to go up there and see that. I got to see where the action takes place on the steam engine. In this chapter, it is like Luke is inviting us up into the driver's cab of the gospel engine. Come and have a look, he says. Come and see God is at work. See where God is doing things through this whole experience here with Cornelius. This is God's work here to change the thinking of the church, to change the barrier, bring down those barriers that existed. It is a powerful reminder that the success of gospel work does not depend upon us. It's not our ideas, not our great schemes, not our ability to communicate. It is God who is at work. And when God is at work, nothing can stop that. No barrier can prevent that work from going ahead. When God is at work, he changes people's lives. He changes people's hearts. We need to keep reminding ourselves it is God who is at work through the gospel. Secondly, let's have a look at Cornelius. Who was Cornelius? What were all these barriers that were creating issues for him to hear the gospel? Well, Luke tells us a bit about Cornelius at the beginning, in the opening verses. He tells us that Cornelius was a centurion in the Italian regiment, that he and his family were devout and God-fearing, that he gave generously to those in need, and that he prayed to God regularly. Quite a detailed description of this man. As a centurion, it meant he was an officer in the Roman army, an officer in charge of about 100 soldiers. That marks him out straight away as a Gentile who'd been brought in from outside by the Roman Empire, the Roman authorities over that region. He'd been brought in to help keep the peace, to exercise control over that part of the empire as a Roman soldier. He and his family, Luke tells us, were devout and God-fearing. Now, God-fearers was a term to describe a particular group of Gentiles who had moved towards Israel's God. They were interested in and sympathetic to the Jewish faith, perhaps attracted by the idea of monotheism, of having one God instead of the multiple gods of the Greeks and the Romans that were around about them. They worshipped Israel's God. They often attended synagogue services to be part of that. They might even try to follow some of the Jewish moral laws. Cornelius demonstrated his sincerity in this as a God-fearer by his generosity. He allowed it to hit his wallet. He was able to give to those who were in need within the Jewish community. And he prayed regularly to Israel's God. Cornelius was a good man. He was what we might call a fellow traveller. He was sympathetic to the Jews. He was honouring to God. He was generous. He was prayerful. This opened Cornelius up to the gospel. This made him aware of the possibility of the gospel. But at the same time, he was a God-fearer, but not a Jew. He had not taken that final step. If a Gentile wanted to become a Jew, they had to go through circumcision, and Cornelius had not gone. Perhaps that was for him a step too far to do that. He was okay. He was comfortable where he was. He was not actively seeking a deeper relationship with God. He wouldn't have sought out Peter unless God had sent the angel to speak to him. And when Peter arrives at Cornelius' house, Cornelius' response immediately is to fall down on the ground and to reverence or to worship Peter. Peter has to quickly get him back up on his feet and say, I'm just a man like you. No? So Cornelius is sympathetic to the Jews, but his understanding has a long way to go. There's no way that a Jew would bow down to worship another human being. That would be abhorrent. But Cornelius' thinking is still confused, still sympathetic, but he's got a way to go yet. In verses 36 to 38, Peter remarks that Cornelius knows about Jesus and what had happened to him. He says, as you know, these things happened. As you know, these things happened. The implication is that Cornelius has heard about Jesus, as so many people had in that region. It was such a significant thing, this travelling preacher and what had happened to him. He had heard about what Jesus had said and what Jesus had done, but Cornelius had not tried to find out more for himself. He did not seek out Jesus. He did not seek out Jesus' followers. It seems that he was content with his level of involvement with the Jews. There is a complacency here in Cornelius that is a barrier. It's his first barrier. It's a self-erected barrier. He's happy with the way things are in his life, in his contribution, his spirituality. He's not seeking more. But it is God who comes to Cornelius to change him, to break down that barrier. But there was also a spiritual barrier that Cornelius had as a Gentile with a pagan background. The Apostle Paul speaks about this when he writes to the Ephesians. And he tells them how the Gentiles were once alienated from God and from his people. He describes it this way, speaking to the Gentile who are now believers in the church at Ephesus. He says, remember that at that time, that is before they knew Christ, at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. This was Cornelius. Even though he was a God-fearer, he had not become a Jew, a citizen of Israel. He did not have citizenship in Israel. He could not claim the promises of God to Abraham or the covenant of God with Israel. He was not part of that. He was sitting alongside it, but he was not there. He was still separated from God, still separated from being one of God's people. Despite how devout and prayerful he was, he was still separate. There was this spiritual barrier there. But also, his racial and cultural background created some human barriers that made it difficult for Cornelius. As Peter says to Cornelius himself in verse 28, he told him that Jews do not associate with Gentiles. It was against the law in their thinking to try and do that, to go and visit their houses, and certainly not to go and eat with them. That was unthinkable. The implication is, of course, that for all of his God-fearing and his religious practice, Cornelius is still living like a Gentile. He's still following Gentile practices. He's still eating like a Gentile, which would make it very difficult, impossible for a Jew, a devout Jew, to go and into his house to share a meal with him. So Peter and the other early Christians who were all Jews, they would not normally spend time with Cornelius. They would not normally fellowship with Cornelius. They might acknowledge his piety, his devout practices, but they would not go and fellowship with him because he was a Gentile and living like a Gentile. The Jews had taken their status as God's chosen people and turned it into favoritism and separatism. And Peter was still part of that. That was what he'd grown up with. That was part of his cultural understanding that needed to be broken down as well if the gospel was to get out of the Jewish church into the whole world, into the Gentiles. Cornelius was stuck on the other side of the divide. His personal, his spiritual, his cultural background were barriers that prevented him from coming to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If things were going to change, God needed to act. He needed to act in Cornelius' life. He needed to act in Peter's life. And Luke tells us that is exactly what he did. God came in by the power of the gospel. He smashed down those barriers and he brought Cornelius into his people. And in so doing, he opened the door for many other Gentiles to enter the kingdom of God, even for us also to enter. So thirdly, then, let's think about how it is that the gospel actually breaks down those barriers in Cornelius's life and in ours and in others. See, God had been at work in Cornelius's life to convince him to send for Peter and to listen to Peter, to hear what Peter had to say. And God had been at work in Peter's life to convince him to go to Cornelius. When Peter arrived, he said to Cornelius, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean." Peter acknowledges what a big change has taken place in his thinking. He is doing something here that just 2 days beforehand he would have thought was impossible. To go to Cornelius' house, go into his house to fellowship, have a meal with him. But no way, I couldn't do that. But now he's doing it willingly. Something has happened. He would have thought before that he was disobeying God, dishonouring God by going into Cornelius' house. But now through the vision that he has received and the work of God's Holy Spirit in his life, in his heart, in his thinking, he has realised that people cannot be considered unclean or unacceptable by virtue of their race or culture. In verses 34 to 43, Peter continues his message to Cornelius and all those with him, his family and those who have gathered to hear him, and he explains to them the essentials of the gospel message about Jesus. It is the same truth that he preached to the Jewish crowd on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, but now it is aimed at a Gentile audience. He outlines Jesus' life and ministry from his baptism by John through his teaching, his healing, casting out demons, his death, and then his resurrection. And he concludes it by saying in verses 42 and 43, "He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Peter's message is the message of peace and reconciliation with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that peace is achieved through Jesus' death and resurrection. And we obtain that by believing in Jesus. Peter has finally realized that this message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus is not just for Jews, but it is for everyone. Everyone who believes, he says, no matter who they are, no matter where they come from, no matter what their background is, no matter what their cultural background is, no matter what language they speak, no matter where they come from, this message is for them, for everyone. Cornelius didn't have to be circumcised and become a Jew in order to receive the message and to receive the forgiveness that it offered. All that was required was to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust him for forgiveness in order to be reconciled with God. Cornelius and the people who are with him do just that. They believe. As they're hearing the message being proclaimed to them by Peter, they believe. And there's evidence by the Holy Spirit coming upon them. Just as he came upon the Jewish believers on the day of Pentecost, now the Holy Spirit comes upon them. They praise God in various tongues. It is visible. It is audible. Peter and the other believers with him cannot be mistaken. God has worked here. God has brought this Gentile into the kingdom, into God's church, the body of Christ. He has become one with them through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was proof that the Gentiles could be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus, just as the Jews could. This realization that it is not who we are or what we've done that brings us peace with God, but only what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ, this was the basis of breaking down those barriers that we erect between people. See, before we come to Christ, we are all separated from God because of our rebellion, our sin, our disobedience. Everybody, no matter who we are, no matter what our background, we are all separated from God. But Christ has dealt with our rebellion by taking our sin upon himself in his death on the cross. He died in our place, and then he rose again so that we could be reconciled with God. Once we are reconciled with God, then we can be reconciled with one another. As we humble ourselves before God and acknowledge that none of us deserves to be part of God's family, none of us deserves to be forgiven, none of us deserves to be welcomed into God's kingdom, we recognize that all of us stand in the same place. No matter who we are, where we've come from, we are all able to be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service there, in my retirement, one of the things I'm doing now is getting back involved with the Bible College in Vanuatu, where I had taught there in the 1990s for about 5 years, and it's good to be back involved with them again, going over to help out with administration. I'm going over again in a couple of weeks' time for another 2 weeks to help them with various things. In Vanuatu, it is a nation of around 250,000-300,000 people, so not a big place. But it is the place that has the highest density of language anywhere in the world. There are over 100 different languages, that is, not dialects, but 100 different languages spoken within that nation of 250,000-300,000 people. That is because in their background, they were a very fierce and warlike people. They were cannibals, and they would be constantly fighting each other, killing each other, eating each other. They did not get on with the people in the village across the way or on this island, different islands. That's what they were like. But then the gospel came through in the 1800s. And people believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And suddenly those barriers were broken down. No longer were they fighting with each other. It's now renowned as one of the most peaceful places on earth, one of the happiest places on earth. It kind of gets pretty high on that register, the people survey that people do every now and then around the world. This is the impact of the gospel. It has changed it. At the college now, we have students that come from all over the country, all the different islands. Each of those islands has their own culture, their own language. They have a national language, a pidgin English, and they do their schooling in either English or French, but they all have a village language, a local language. But it doesn't matter where they come from. Each of them has these cultural backgrounds that are different, but they come together because they are united in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a common bond that they experience now through the work of the gospel that has changed things for them. If you have travelled to another country or lived in another culture, lived in another place, you joined with other believers somewhere else, I'm sure you have experienced that. That even though there may be language differences, there may be cultural differences, there may be difference in the way that the church operates, in the pattern of worship, or many different things. But when you have that bond in the Lord Jesus Christ, you come together. There is amazing the unity that you sense with other believers. Because it's all those external things, they are not significant. What is significant is the relationship we have with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to keep reminding ourselves about that. Think about what God did to break down those barriers there in Cornelius's life and for the church. And think about how important it is for us to maintain that unity that we have with other believers and to reach out to everyone with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to keep asking ourselves, what are those barriers that we might put up between people? That we might think, I couldn't go and speak to that person about the gospel. I couldn't share the gospel with them. They're a bit different. They're not like me. How could I do that? We need to think about, are there barriers that we put up between ourselves and other believers because of differences that we perceive in there? We need to keep humbly reminding ourselves that we all stand before God as sinners in need of salvation and forgiveness, but God has worked so that now we are forgiven, we are redeemed, we are saints in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can come together and share that unity together. We need to keep reminding ourselves of that truth, that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the wonderful work of the gospel, for the gospel that breaks down barriers, that has brought us into your kingdom, even though we did not deserve it. You have forgiven us because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing we have done could ever deserve that, but you have done it through your work of that gospel. Father, we pray, help us to live out that unity we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, to share that message with others, that they too might join us as part of your people, your kingdom, that we might together worship and praise you, the God who has worked for the salvation of your people. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.